ABC Radio Australia.
Well, today is what's known as VP Day. It stands for Victory in the Pacific, and it commemorates the surrender of Japanese forces and the subsequent end of Second World War. But as Carl Evans reports, 80 years on, the scars of war remain, and some fear that one day soon, history may repeat itself.
Papua New Guinean Cecil Abel rarely spoke about the Battle of Milne Bay, during which he served aboard a transport ship, taking troops in and out of combat. But one soldier spoke about him often.
My father attended the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Milne Bay. He spoke of General Close told him to go and rescue a soldier who had been shot in the stomach. And of course, he didn't have to, but he and his captain, Sela, local captain steering the boat, they agreed.
Cecil has since passed away, but his son Andy Abel knows his father's history well.
But during the course of telling the story of this soldier that he rescued, that very soldier, his name was Harry Triffitt, stood up at the end and said, "That was me that you rescued." And it was obviously a very moving time, not only for my dad, but everyone in that gathering. And Harry Triffitt survived the war. He lives in Tasmania and he has 29 grandchildren.
Harry was one of the lucky ones. Close to 150,000 Allied troops died in the Pacific Theatre during World War II. Just as many islanders, if not more, suffered the same fate, along with 2 million Japanese servicemen, as battlefield historian and TV presenter Matt McLaughlin explains.
The Germans and the Japanese were really only allies because they shared the same goals of sort of dominating their sectors of the world. And basically what was happening in the Pacific was that Japan wanted resources in Asia. Japan was very resource poor, as it still is today. It imports a lot of its resources. And because it was aggressively expanding in Asia, countries were starting to cut off the supply of resources it was receiving. So in the end, Japan decided it had enough. It needed to be self-sufficient, and to do that, it needed to basically invade territories in Asia. And because of that, it also spread into the Pacific, because the Pacific was the key to defending its gains in Asia.
Several of the bloodiest battles of the war followed, as Japanese forces expanded as far south as PNG and also Solomon Islands. But Allied victories pushed the fighting north to Micronesia and eventually to Japan's doorstep, where they refused to yield.
And the Japanese were planning one final cataclysmic battle. They knew they couldn't win the war, but they thought, well, if we just bleed the Allies enough, we'll get better terms when it comes to peace negotiations. It's difficult to think about it today, but they were planning this one last cataclysmic battle on the Japanese islands themselves, and it was only the dropping of the atomic bombs that convinced them to surrender before that happened.
That surrender came on August 15, 1945, 80 years ago today. For the Allies, victory meant peace and a promise to return home. But in parts of the Pacific, the price of victory is still being paid. Munitions, landmines, and unexploded ordnance left over from the conflict still litter the islands to this day. It's impossible to ascertain the scale of the problem, simply because no systematic survey has ever been carried out.
Well, at the end of the war, everyone was just in a hurry to go home, as simple as that. There was theoretically a mandate to dispose of stockpiles that existed, and a lot of stuff was just dumped in the sea, and even in dumping in the sea, they were supposed to take it out to very deep water and get rid of it, and that just simply didn't happen.
John Rodsted is a researcher at SafeGround, an organisation which works to minimise the impacts of weapons of war through research and victim assistance. He says the fear of being blown up prevents many islanders from accessing what would otherwise be prime agricultural land.
But people often say, look, we fish, we do stuff with the ocean, we don't go farming. We might have a little market garden around the house. But the fear of actually turning the earth and going and getting some proper crops in, which is going to give them some good health and some good economic return, a lot of places they just don't do it.
He says even densely populated urban areas aren't totally safe.
In Honiara, capital of the Solomon Islands, 3 years ago, there was a church barbecue, and they just lit a fire on the ground, getting the fire prepared, and an American 105 artillery shell detonated from under the ground, and it killed two of them and injured a few others.
The people of the Northern Mariana Islands in Micronesia, meanwhile, paid a different price post-war in that the soldiers never left. Islands that were heavily fought over, like Guam and Saipan, remain military hubs to this day. So much so that Guam is now known as the tip of the spear of the US armed forces. But despite the economic security the military's provided for those islands, some locals, such as Saipan-based lawyer and anthropologist Issa Areola, feel it's come at the cost of cultural identity.
The land is really central to our identity. And so when these things are used for training or testing or really, you know, local voices are completely disregarded in the process, that's a hit to Indigenous sovereignty, and it will continue to be.
Another view is that the military's continued presence in the Pacific is central to ensuring a war like the one we saw 80 years ago doesn't happen again, only this time with the US's geopolitical adversary, China. This week, a ceremony took place on the island of Tinian to mark the resurfacing of a runway used in World War II, the very same runway that launched the infamous plane in Nola Gay, which dropped the first atomic bomb on Japan. Tinian-based author and politician Don Farrell says it's a message to China that the US is ready if war makes its way to the Pacific again.
And what the message is to China is that we don't want a war, we don't want to fight, but we won't get caught with our pants down again like we did at Pearl Harbor, that we will have operational bases prepared to become fully operational should the need arise.
Tinian-based author and politician Don Farrell ending that report by Carl Evans.